When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, hour number two, Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. 800-919-3776 is the number to get into the conversation with us. Let's give you a tournament update brought to you by Schweppes. The men's Final Four is set. You got the top seeds, UConn and Purdue. You got Alabama in there. Nate Oates with a great job just coaching all the way through this thing. And then Alabama in the Final Four for the first time, too. So Nick Saban no longer the biggest coach on campus anymore. NC State is in their Jim Valvano 1983 run. Like, this run is incredible what they're on. 11th seed, they were dead in the water before the ACC tournament. And then NC State has been on a terrific run. They find themselves in the final as well. All right, on the women's side, you got South Carolina 36-0 already in there. NC State, so more Wolfpack. In the Final Four, now on the women's side, can UConn, think about it, UConn women can also get in there? Imagine that. And then you have now tonight, to me, Bart, when it comes to must-watch TV and a lot of different sporting events, you have tonight a marquee matchup of women's basketball on ESPN that you can't tell me anything else going on tonight is more watchable than this on many levels. Caitlin Clark and Iowa takes on Angel Reese and LSU in the match rematch of last year's championship. And you remember the rivalry between these two players. There's something special that goes on with two of them. They love to trash talk each other, both really good players, and both of them incredibly famous already in the college game. And then at 9 o'clock, don't forget about Paige Beckers, Paige Buckets, and the UConn Huskies. And they take on your favorite player in the tournament bar, Juju Watkins, and USC. That game's at 9. Both games again, ESPN, 7, 9 p.m., put it on there and leave it there because it's going to be must-watch. And I'm telling you this right now. What I have seen so far to the women's tournament, this really started last year. The national championship game drew over 9 million viewers on average.
Yeah.
The highest watched women's college basketball game ever. It peaked at 12 million. People are interested more and more in the women's game than ever before. And I'm watching this tournament now with some of the names that I just mentioned to you playing tonight, just tonight alone, not to mention the South Carolina team, which is an incredible team. And you have, I think, the makings for the women's game, the same thing we saw in 1979, Bird versus Magic.
Mm-hmm.
That matchup of Indiana State and Michigan State literally put the sport back on the map. It turned March Madness into what it is today, that matchup. And then those two players went to the NBA and helped turn the NBA around
mm-hmm.
because the NBA in the late 70s was falling off big time. Where the finals in the NBA were on delay. Think about where that matchup and those two guys, Bird and Magic, took the game.
Yeah.
Can we get the same impact now when Caitlin Clark moves to the WNBA? Angel Reese goes to the WNBA. Paige Beckers goes to the WNBA. These players take what has been built here in the college game, bring it to the pro game, and it could change everything. We could look back at the 2024 women's tournament as a turning point for the women's game and the WNBA.
Yeah, we already know where Caitlin's going, right? Indiana has the first overall pick, so she goes to the House of Bird, right? Perfect place.
Good point.
Right, and who knows where Reese goes. But, you know, what I love about, you know, these matchups tonight is no matter who wins, the next matchup is still going to be equally as intriguing.
It gets better.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So
yes.
You look at it, right? So if Caitlin Clark continues to win, then she, you know, she kind of avenges her loss last year.
And she's having a better season than Reese has.
Right, right. So, but, you know, it's about a team thing. We know that Iowa doesn't get the high-end stars. And that's what makes what Caitlin Clark does is that she didn't buy to go to one of these mega powers. You know what I mean? She kept it close to the vest.
Yep.
You know, so you got Reese right there. But if not, then, you know, you lose tonight, then Reese is your daddy. And then when you go into
when you go to the
WNBA, then yeah, I own
meet
you.
Again.
You her mm-hmm. against everybody but me. It's kind of like how Roy Jones could never beat Antonio Tarver, but he kicked everybody else's ass, right? So then when you go on the other side, you know what I mean, you got Becker, right? But then,
Paige Beckers.
Yep. Right. So,
who was,
so,
by the way, as a freshman, the player of
right,
the year.
Right. The freshman of the year. I'm her.
Years ago.
And you got her coach saying, hold on, we got the best player in basketball. Hold up.
Shots fired.
My name Juju.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all talk about this Caitlin Clark girl, this Andrea Reese girl, this Flo Johnson girl. I'm her-thy. I'm her, right? Like, I don't know what y'all talking about, but I'm going to break all those records. All you got to do is look at what I've done in averaging 28 points a game already. 6'2", plays with power,
yes,
grace,
yep,
speed, athleticism.
She's a talent.
And listen, remember, I told you about her,
yes, you
like,
did,
early.
Yeah.
I'm like,
before
yo,
the
man,
tournament started, you were telling me about that. You said the freshman from USC, you got to watch
her. Like, a lot of people talking about all these other people, man.
Mm-hmm.
But it was almost like I felt like we had that West Coast bias because, you know, they play on the West Coast, right?
Yep.
And it's women's basketball. So it's like, you're not
– as many eyeballs
yeah,
on it.
You're not looking at USC versus Oregon State or somebody like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so listen, she's her, right? So if she unthrones who
– Dethrones, right?
Yeah, dethrones who was the rookie freshman phenom in Becker. No, I'm the rookie phenom, and you'll never be again because I'm her. Right, so then now, you know, their coach got to eat their words. Not only did they get the Caitlin Clark, you ain't better than her.
You didn't even get here.
Right, you ain't even better than her.
It's almost like I'm rooting for that matchup, though. I want so bad for Beckers and Caitlin Clark to meet up,
no,
only because of what Gino Auriemma said. But Bart, my point is, though.
I love disruption.
Yes, but you also love the drama. Everybody does.
Yes.
They get caught up in the drama. The men's tournament doesn't have any of this. There's been some good games. There's some good finishes. But what you have, the
Blue
added piece,
got the ass kicked.
The added piece to me in this whole thing has been the personal beef,
yeah,
that is starting to develop, and that the women's players are absolutely enjoying it.
Yes.
They want it. They embrace it. And I think that is something that makes it extra compelling and why tonight's matchups, both of them, have all of that in it and more, which is why, to me, it's must-watch TV. And we're not even in the Final Four yet.
Right.
Imagine if tonight's must-watch, and what numbers are they going to get? Think about the numbers that Iowa has already drawn in this tournament. When you talk about in the round of 32, they were averaging 1.4 million viewers.
Yeah.
The whole tournament was up 121% from last year. And then the amount of viewers that they were getting,
I think it's
4.9 million viewers in the Sweet 16.
Yeah,
like, they are drawing eyeballs to the women's game, and tonight, to me, will break more records, and the Final Four could break last year's record as well.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out, right, you know, because you got to think about how people think, right? This is a 4 o'clock game on the West Coast. So it could be a little, you know, I think the numbers are going to be tremendous.
Yeah.
But I think UConn and USC could outdo the Iowa game, even though the Iowa game is more intriguing. I think, you know, people are
I just think she brings people to the TV.
Yes.
It's
no, she
obvious.
No, she absolutely does. But I think Juju's going to bring the whole West Coast with her. Right?
Well, UConn has a big following, too. The UConn women's team has a huge
and
following.
And Juju's going to bring the whole West Coast.
That game could have a better rating.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
But the whole night.
Yeah, it belongs,
the whole
it belongs
night could
to,
be
the, to the rematch. It belongs to the rematch.
So I know there's
I'm here for all that.
I know there's baseball. I know there's other NBA.
Nah.
There's nothing else to watch
they
tonight,
got it right.
Everyone.
They got it
nothing.
Right. Monday. They got it right. Monday.
Yeah, it was smart to stagger this. So I know that's what we're watching. Are you watching? 800-919-3776. That was a tournament update presented by Schweppes. Schweppes offers above-the-rim refreshment and is proud to sponsor the Big East Conference. Enjoy the madness. Take a break from the hoops action with a Schweppes seltzer or Schweppes ginger ale.
Have you picked the winner yet? Have you staked your flag to somebody yet?
It's a great
question. I don't understand how this dude got in the league. He went to Tennessee,
mm-hmm,
and he got fatter. Like, usually guys go to college and they lose weight. Like, when they go in, they get more mature.
DJ Burns,
this dude got,
is a large human being.
I mean, and listen, you talk about he's getting the attention. Because personalities is what sells in these tournaments.
Of course.
He's got Jokic saying, hey, big man got skills. You got a guy like Jokic commenting on you. You know what I mean? So, I mean, you love the personality. NC State, their unlikely run, you know, beating. Man, they dominated Duke. They tried twice now.
Remember, they beat him in the tournament, too.
Yeah, they tried to double him. They had no answer for him. He passed out, right? Then he comes in isolation. He just dribble, spin. You go for the steal. You know who you remind me of? A mini Escalade.
Oh, Mark Jackson's brother.
Yes.
Yes.
He's like a mini because, like, Escalade was big.
But,
So he was the ESV.
Yeah.
He's the regular Escalade. Because, like, you saw the old boy go for the steal. He just spent, like, nope. I got this this jelly roll on you.
It's funny.
I
after
got this lat on you
after the the Nuggets smoked the Cavs yesterday. Jokic did say he was late to his postgame because he said that he was watching DJ Burns and NC State, who was pulling off that win.
He's intriguing,
and
man.
He said that he's so skilled. He's a lefty. Seems like teammates like to play with him. And just, you know, that's a good guy.
Because he passed out the double. And they got plays for him. Like the out-of-bounds play they had late, threw him to rot.
I swear to God, I thought he was a lineman for NC State. That just they let him play basketball, too.
He's Zach Randolph,
I thought he was.
Z-Bo!
When you look at him, and he's knock-kneed, and he's got, like, the big upper body, wouldn't you say, if I said to you,
he
actually is a lineman, he plays D-line for the Wolfpack football team, but they also let him play basketball. Yeah, and you would probably say to me, oh, that looks about right.
Only because he got fatter. Like when he was,
but he doesn't play basketball. He doesn't play football.
Yeah, he's a transfer from Tennessee. He will.
You think instead of the NBA?
He's your next tight end.
You think he can play tight end?
Yeah, he going to lose a little weight. This only guy that would have to leave.
He's got great footwork.
This only guy that would have to leave college and lose weight to play football. Like, you know what I'm saying? Usually guy play basketball, he goes, oh, we got to put some weight on you.
Yeah, right.
Nah, they like, nah, bro. You're too big.
All right, well, speaking of basketball, can we transition into what we saw last night at the Garden?
See, look what did I say? NFL folks have their eye on DJ.
Oh, they should?
Brown.
Yeah, no, because his footwork. He's very athletic, very nimble.
Yeah, he ain't
and
about
he's big and strong.
Yeah.
Last night the Knicks lose this game that they had in their pocket, it felt like to me, in the third quarter. They had it in control, and they were really playing well. And they were up by as many as 12, but they were rolling, and it felt like, okay, their defense was doing a really good job. They started making threes, and Jalen Brunson was doing Jalen Brunson things. The bench comes in. Listen to this stat, Bart. In just under 36 minutes, he played 35, actually 34 and change. Brunson was plus 18, plus 17. In 13 minutes when he wasn't on the court, the Knicks were minus 18. So that's a pretty big difference, don't you think, on the court and off the court? You got me?
Yeah.
Right? What did I just say?
No, you're talking about Brunson, what their radius was on the court and off when he was off the court. They're talking about the bench.
And
I was
it?
Just watching the Mets throw behind the head.
Yeah, I don't know why you're doing that. Is the Mets are not worth your time right now.
No.
This is worth your time.
No, I
Because
no,
that's
but,
a big difference.
But I was still
minus,
like that.
Plus 17 versus minus 18.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot go to the bench. 13 minutes out of 48? You can't give them 13 minutes of rest without the whole thing falling apart.
Well,
they don't have enough
yeah.
coming off the bench.
Well, Burks isn't living up to expectations.
He's not.
He shot a little bit better, got
no,
a little bit more minutes.
But Burks has not played well. He came back from the shoulder sprain. He missed a couple of games there.
Bogdanović
has not been effective. And with the injuries, with OG Anunoby still out, with Randle out, they have to take guys that normally would come off the bench and make them starters and give them starters minutes. And this is going to catch up to them because – can you see the Knicks taking it up a level in the postseason? I can't. I think this is as good as they can play.
Yeah.
I mean, the Thunder are a great team, and they had them up 12 at home. Like, you had them. They had the Spurs dead to rights. Couldn't finish that game. That's a big problem that I don't know if it's going to be fixed. And we keep saying, well, when they get healthy. Now, Bart, Josh Hart's a lot like you. He has no filter. He essentially will tell you what everybody's thinking. And he said something last night after the game that I found to be alarming because this isn't hyperbole from Josh Hart. This is Josh Hart just speaking his mind and what everybody else is talking about in that locker room.
I'm looking at it like this is a team that we're going to have. You know, I think that's how, you know, we have to approach it. You know, that those guys, you know, aren't coming back. And then obviously we'll be pleasantly surprised if they come back. You know, I'm not in those medical conversations or anything like that. So I don't know, you know, but, you know, we got to approach it every game and the end of the season that, you know, those guys aren't coming back. And if they do be pleasantly surprised.
So basically he's saying we're not expecting either guy to come back, and if they do, we'll be surprised. We'll be pleasantly surprised. So they're operating right now with the assumption that not just Julius Randle, but even OG Anunoby, probably not coming back with 8 games to go in the season. That's alarming.
Yeah,
because this is it. If at least you get OG Anunoby back, maybe you can still be really competitive.
But if you see neither how, guy, you see what it looked like when OG came back. How
yes.
good they looked.
So you tell me, is Josh Hart speaking out of turn? Is he talking out of pocket? Or is there some truth that he's revealing here about how the players are feeling about this right now?
No, I think Tibbs probably had to talk to him. Like, hey, man, listen, we got to play and get our rotations down. Like, we think we can get him back, but we can't depend on that, especially early on. You know what I'm saying? We got to figure some things out and get our rotations right. So, guys, get ready to step up, man. Like, because, hey, we need you guys to step up. We don't know, like, you know, what OG is, and definitely we don't know what the status of Julius Randle is. Yeah, I think we figure out that, you know, Mitch Robinson, you know, look good, like he can come back. I know he missed the game, right?
Mitchell Robinson did miss the game last night.
But that's because you can't load
him
up.
He called it
like
a tweak after he had to play all those minutes
right.
against the Spurs.
It looked
the
like
Spurs.
He hurt his foot. Like
it
he hurt
definitely
his foot
did.
Twisted or something like
it
that.
Definitely
he was
did.
Noticeably. Yeah. You heard Clyde talking about it. But you expect him to come back. That's more of a
You hope so. You hope he's fine.
You think he comes back, but OG.
You need Anunoby.
Right.
I think if you don't get Anunoby back, like I've been kind of hinting that I didn't expect to see Randle the rest of the year. Like I just kept the feeling I kept getting, no matter how good he looks when he does his warm-ups, I just don't know if there's confidence enough in the shoulder, because they would have cleared him to contact and let him play in practice to see how it feels. They never even cleared him for that.
And if that's
which
the
tells
case,
you that there's a lot of hesitant.
And if that's the case, why wasn't surgery done?
Well, that's gonna be asked a lot now.
Like, yo, especially when you see guys
2 months ago.
Especially when you see guys like Joel Embiid coming back, and you see other
different
guys.
Different injury,
Mitch
of
Robinson.
Course.
I understand. Yeah, but, you know what I'm saying.
You're right.
Yeah, I was trying to look.
You dropped something.
Yeah, I did. My whole book bag was looking for an ink pen.
Oh, okay.
But yeah,
need one.
Yeah.
You got it yet?
Nope. But you expect people to. You know, you expect, like, okay, Julius Randle's shoulder, they went this long. Like, you expect him to at least give the old college try, right? Come out there with the harness on his – come back with the harness. Thank you. Come back with his harness on his shoulder or something and at least give it a shot. Because
right.
if that's the case, what the hell was we do 2 months of rehab?
Yeah.
Like, two months of rehab, bro?
Right.
Like, and we just shutting it down? If 2 months of rehab don't do nothing – then you should have got surgery. And then if that's the case, then who misdiagnosed it? What did we miss? Like, somebody got to be held accountable for that, because we could have moved accordingly.
Yeah, no, I'm really concerned about that. And I'm concerned more about Anunoby because of the way Hart spoke there. Like, you know, we're not expecting him.
Yeah.
And that's alarming.
Like a conversation had been had.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. Like, he even said, like, I'm not privy to the medical stuff, but
well,
him saying that is sort of like telling you it's the mentality of the locker room right now, which that's a concern for me. It's almost like they've lost hope. They've stopped trying to hope for it, and they're like, whatever, man, this is what we got.
Yeah.
It's all we got.
Especially when you see guys like Joel Embiid coming back. Like, yo, this dude had knee surgery.
Yeah. And then now Philly, I tell you what.
He's like, oh, your elbow stopping you? He had knee surgery?
That two seed now? Do you really want that if it's the Heat or the Sixers?
Nah.
I don't know if I want that one. I'll take Indiana or Orlando.
I'll take that.
I'll take those matchups instead.
Yeah, we can have that.
Now, the other part of last night that was a bit of a controversy was at the end of the game, Brunson, about 5 seconds to go on a drive to the basket, makes a go-ahead bucket. Tough basket that he had to make against Chet Holmgren, of all people, 7-footer. But as he is making the layup, Lou Dort comes over on a help and just a hip-to-hip, like in the air, mid-air collision, and down goes Brunson, no call. Could have been an and-one, and if it was and he hits the free throw, instead of it being a one-point Nick lead, it's a two-point lead, and now that SGA game winner is a game-tying basket, right?
Yeah.
So they don't give him the foul, and he doesn't get the free throw. Now, it is, as I said, I begin the list of things that went wrong for the Knicks last night with the bench minutes. So let's make that clear. I'm not saying they lost because of this, but this is now an ongoing thing with Brunson that he has been fighting.
Yeah, he's a superstar, and he doesn't get superstar calls.
And Tom Thibodeau talked about it after the game in San Antonio, and then this happens again, and all he would say last night is, write what you see. He's like, well, I can't keep talking
no
about
respect.
Write what you see. Jalen Brunson was seen talking to the officials after the game, and so he was asked, like, what did they say, like, what came from that conversation?
Yeah, he said it wasn't a foul. put it into long story short, that's what he said.
Long story short, they just said it wasn't a foul. Now, we'll see what the L2M says today, but I've talked to people in the league that have told me that he had already released the ball and that it was not a foul, that it should not be a foul.
But don't you have to have the player come down and land, and can't that, you know, the foul
That's what
through?
I said, but apparently not. Apparently on a drive, you don't have the that right to land like you do as a jump shooter.
Got you. Because they're saying you're not jumping straight up and down in the same spot.
Yeah,
you're jumping into them. You're creating the contact.
Yes. Now, here's another thing that came out of that I've heard from people, and this is something Brian Windhorst said on the Hoop Collective, is the reputation that Jalen Brunson now has built for himself is not only a likable guy who has played, I mean, 61 points in San Antonio. He has had a phenomenal season.
If he don't get MVP votes, then something's wrong with your boy.
Well, I mean, he's all NBA, right?
Yeah.
So, definitely. But he's been red flagged by the officials. You know why? Because they claim he hunts for fouls, which they are trying to officiate Eliminate. Out of the game. So now they watch him differently because he has a reputation of somebody that is looking for contact and trying to draw fouls. Listen to Brian Windhorst on the Hoop Collective talking about that very topic.
He doesn't have the reputation of like a Harden or a Trae Young, but he's a foul hunter. You know, he uses the dark arts. I'm not taking a side. I mean, there were obviously times this year. I mean, the game in Houston being the grade A example where Brunson got an unfair whistle. But this is what the league referees are cracking down on. The fouls that he gets sometimes are not what they're going to give him. And I think the Knicks, as impressive as they have been, they're in a spot. These games are all so tight down at the end of the game. They need these calls. So it feels a little bit more painful because they're in so much need of them right now.
He's right. And what I don't like is that he has this reputation. And all you need is for the officials to all have it in their mind that this is what he does. Because once you have that reputation, as a ref, you're looking for it. And the benefit of the doubt no longer goes to the player. Now, if you have any doubt, you will go to the benefit of the reputation. And therefore, he won't get the call. And they'll let him, as he drives to the basket, get hit by Lou Dort, get knocked down to the ground, and they will not blow a whistle.
He's initiating the contact.
Yeah, the same thing when he's on like the side and he just does a pump fake move and goes up and shoots it, and he's the front of his body makes contact with the defender. They don't blow the whistle, and you see him all the time, a lot of times just looking at the official like,
Put his hand up, what the hell?
Like, he is getting more and more frustrated about the lack of calls, but it's amazing to think that this crackdown, as much as we've talked about how great it is that the league is trending more to physicality, and how we like that, and it does benefit the Knicks defensively. Coincidentally, it also hurts them because their star player thrives on contact. Julius Randle's the same thing.
Yeah.
Randle would be just as frustrated right now if he were playing because he's the same thing. He will drive at you, he's stronger than you, and he will try to finish against you. And he will take contact, and then a lot of times he gets frustrated when he doesn't get the call. Can you imagine the two of them? How many non-calls that there would be going on right now with those two, the frustration. But that's the reality of it. Knicks fans, like I said, I on the post game last night, I did say that should have been a foul. It looked to me like a hip check. It looked to me like Dort came across and basically clobbered him, ran through him on that layup, and it should have been an N1. I am on record of believing that that's what I saw. But I also trust people I talk to in the league, and I have been told that Jalen Brunson is basically somebody that has built himself a reputation of somebody, like you just heard Wendy say, who hunts for those fouls. And with that in mind, officials are going to not give him the benefit of the doubt. They are going to lean towards the reputation and not give him the call. And if you're him, you got to fix it. You got to figure it out this offseason. And if you're the Knicks, that's a frustration. You clearly are not going to change.
Yeah, reputation already. How about, why doesn't he get the all-star reputation? It's like they skip right past that one. Like, he's an all-star. They don't give him the calls.
Luka's the same thing, although Luka gets to the line a ton, but they say the same thing about Luka. They say the same thing about him. You play iso ball. You take a guy one-on-one. You try to use your body strength and your footwork to get hit while you're making a shot, and you're not going to get that call anymore. They're trying to take that out of the game. And so, unfortunately, that's
Luka.
That's the reality of Jalen Brunson.
Luka with the 3-point finger roll.
How about that shot?
George Gervin's like,
did you see the pregame shot?
Iceman.
Did you see the pregame shot?
Off the Jumbotron.
Off the Jumbotron and in the basket.
Yeah.
How the hell do you do that?
They should remake the commercial.
Oh, Bird?
Bird, yeah. Bird Jordan.
Who else could make trick shots like that?
Steph Curry. Remember, he throws it from the side.
That's a great point. Luka and Steph Curry redo the McDonald's commercial.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be tremendous. Except these aren't fake. Because, the Bird, Michael ones, which are completely fake.
Yeah, yeah.
These would be amazing. They'd actually do the real shots.
Throwing them over the head, from the...
I love it, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, 800-919-3776. Yes, tons of calls to get to. We will get to them.
Look at them Tigers go.
The headlines just keep coming fast and furious. There's still more to get to with you, but you know what's next. It is Audio Files. Stay with us, Barton Hahn, 98.7.
Let's go, Tigers.
ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. When the schedule came out, you saw the Yankees were opening the season in Houston against the Astros. You could not have felt all that great, but Yanks go out and sweep the series away and feeling good opening up the series with those four straight wins. And earlier this morning on DPH and Rothenberg, Rick and Dave both agreed the start of the season could not have gone better for the Bombers.
How you could not be thrilled about what the Yankees are right now would be beyond me.
No, you have to be thrilled. I'm not sure it could have gone any better than it went. Outfield defense, better. I mean, Juan Soto made a big defensive play. You saw Birdie make a great play at third. The way the game ended last night for Dugo, the amount of energy, I think, is the biggest thing for me that's really stood out about this team.
Yep.
Because the Yankees always kind of have like this, like they're professionals. Like that's why they're clean shaven. Like we have a real professional way that we handle our business. And it's like, that can be boring sometimes. Like you want to see guys go out and enjoy what they're doing and compete. To go in there and sweep them the way you did, I mean, that's a hell of a start to a season.
That's a hell of a job. And every you trailed every game except the last one, which you were tied. Soto's awesome. And again, this bullpen looks like it's going to be phenomenal.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, Bart. We've talked about just about everything you could possibly get to. There's been so many headlines. Have not mentioned your Mets yet, but we could get to them in a moment. And we got the women's basketball. We got the men's already Final Four set up. The Knicks situation from last night, and also everything else. The Hassan Reddick trade for the Jets.
So you want to talk about the Nets and that historical start of the game they got off to against the Lakers?
We got LeBron. I mean, how about LeBron's performance, too?
Yeah.
And also what he said afterwards, which is also part of why it is time for us right now to step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in the segment we like to call
Audio Files.
The Audio File.
Do you want to begin with that since you mentioned it?
Yeah, why not?
LeBron James, 40 points, 9 of
10. LeBron James.
Did he go 9 of 10 from three-point range?
Like LeBron James.
He had an unbelievable performance in Brooklyn. And, of course, because he's in New York, the New York media's got to ask him all kinds of annoying questions like, how much longer do you think you'll be playing?
Not very long. Not very long. I'm on the other side, obviously, at a hill, so I'm not going to play another 21 years. That's for damn sure. But I don't know when that door will close as far as when I'll retire, but I don't have much time left.
He doesn't have much time left, but he doesn't look like he's done. Like he can still play at a high level.
But most great players want to leave on top.
Yeah.
They don't want to leave. Like, you know, Barry Sanders retired for other reasons, but he still had more juice left. Who's the guy that walked away? I mean, we just saw Aaron Donald walk away. Mm-hmm. He could have played more. He said he lost the passion.
Right.
At some point, what does LeBron have left to prove? I mean, I think we thought what was holding on that he wanted to play with his son, but his son don't look like he a good enough player to be in the NBA. I know he said that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he ain't. Yeah,
he talked that up too soon.
He can barely play on his own team.
But you know what, though? He's a freshman. He still has plenty of time left.
Yeah, LeBron don't.
No, LeBron doesn't.
To wait for him.
But to declare that Bronny is never going to be an NBA player is unfair.
No,
he's
I didn't say that.
He's got tons of time left. No, I'm saying anybody else that's doing that. I mean, he's just a freshman. Just because he's not a one and done, fine. Doesn't mean he can't.
I mean, he's no Boozer Boys. You know what I'm saying?
Well, no, but that's all right. But that's all right. You see this kid, Jalen Williams, on OKC?
Yeah,
he didn't come out one and done. This guy's unbelievable.
Who's the guy with the Grizzlies that was born 1 month after Bronny James?
Gigi. Yeah.
Like damn, Bronny, why can't you be like him? Listen, LeBron put all the pressure on his son to be great.
He didn't, and then he backed off.
Because he's been talking stuff.
Yeah, then he backed off. But still, LeBron's greatness as a talent, though, and what he's doing at his age, and this, again, it defies any type of logic. He just still can do it at a high level. I just think if you really want to have a conversation, the Lakers are never going to win a championship at this point with him.
Who has a greater chance?
They're not good enough. So what you want to see is, can LeBron find himself in another situation where he can win a title at his age and still be a contributing player and not just like an... You know, not a supporting cast guy. I'm talking about he'd still be one of the main characters of a championship team. Would you rather see LeBron go to a team, even with all the ring chasing that people will call, if he goes to a team that is this close to winning a championship and wins a title at the age of 40? Would you rather see that, or would you rather see him just ride off into the sunset, stay in L.A., and just enough's enough? I'd rather see him play for another title because there's just something special about guys like that.
Yeah, you're wasting his time. I wonder who has a greater shot in getting back to the championship.
Him
or Steph Curry?
It's a great question. Because Steph's another one with Golden State. They
wasted him. They got to let him go, man.
Can they get him back?
They need to do to him what Kevin McHale did to Kevin Garnett.
Well, Kevin Garnett was much younger, though. Are you telling him it's time?
But Steph,
more valuable to us in a trade.
It's like we can't build a team around you that can be competitive for a championship, and you're too great of a talent.
And they don't have enough pieces to do it.
Yeah, you're too great of a talent for us to do this. Now you can help this organization going forward and leave a lasting legacy.
I don't think he wants
that. I understand it.
I think he's fine just retiring there.
Go play in Charlotte, man.
I don't think he wants that. I'm telling you, I don't think he wants any of that. I think he settled in there, and he just wants to stay there forever.
Yeah, but he got
one franchise his whole career, which is a rarity these days.
I just can't see a player like him okay with the play-in.
Yeah, I mean.
And Klay's only going to get older. Yeah. And Draymond's game is only going to age even more. They can't get rid of that contract.
Nope.
I mean, he almost kicked the boy in the balls again.
Yeah,
he almost kicked Bragg Ribs in the ball. And then he got, like, come on, bro. Like, what is wrong with you?
I know. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll keep an eye certainly on all that stuff. But right now, LeBron does have the Lakers playing a lot better down the stretch. And, of course, that leads us out to ESPN to start talking about, can they do it again? Can they have another run? It's just, this is what we do. Tonight, speaking of basketball, the Women's Elite Eight, two more matchups to set their final four. And these are star-studded ones, man. LSU and Iowa is the early game. And then UConn and USC is the second of the doubleheader. Obviously, LSU and Iowa is a rematch of the championship from last year. Caitlin Clark looking forward to seeing them again.
I think we're excited. I think, you know, anytime you have a chance to go up against somebody you lost to, it brings a little more energy. But at this point in the tournament, every single team is good, whether you're playing West Virginia, whether you're playing Colorado, whether you're playing LSU. You prep the exact same way. You come in with the same exact mindset. And I think overall, it's just going to be a really great game for women's basketball. And they're really solid 1-5.
All right. Well, how about Angel Reese? Remember, she they were doing some trash talking in that game. And she showed the ring and all that other stuff. So what's the game plan for Caitlin Clark?
Last year, the scouting report was just to contain her as best as we can and not let the surrounding players score as much as they could. So we're going to do the same thing again this year. I mean, she's scoring 30 when they win. She's scoring 30 when they lose. So it's a win-win-lose situation with it. So we're just going to have to not allow those other players to score.
Did you get that?
Yeah, she tried to articulate the fact.
It's a win-win, lose.
It's like Michael Jordan rules. Like, listen, if she eat and nobody else eat with her assist and everybody wanted to highlight her dimes my teammate.
You right?
No, my teammate's on it.
Orlando Brown.
Yeah, but he's talking, his son is talking about him and I guess the diabetes and stuff like that, stuff that happened.
Okay.
But no, that just caught me off guard to see a picture of my teammate that passed. All right, but when you think what she's saying is like Jordan rules, right? Mm-hmm. Like Jordan gonna get his. You can't let Scotty get off. You can't let anybody else get off. So what they're pretty much saying is like let's make sure that we limit the others, and that should be a win-win. Like we can't stop her, we can't contain her. We're gonna accept that. But West Virginia took another approach. But they had dogs. They were a defensive team, and they had a great game plan against her. I think this is LSU accepting that they don't have the personnel that West Virginia had, but they have a better arsenal to be able to score points on the other side. So this is going to be interesting, man, because everybody wants to see – like everybody loves a comeback story.
Mm-hmm.
And the comeback of like, okay, you beat me last year, I beat you this year. Or does Angel Reese own Caitlin Clark?
I don't know. And neither one
of
them –
it's just her team. It's like Bird.
Yeah, but neither one of them is shooting the ball well.
Yeah, because Magic went in and then won the championship and beat Bird next year. You know what I mean?
So that's why that became such a good rivalry, because you could see that there was animosity between them. Meanwhile, on the men's side, the Final Four is already set. NC State will take on Purdue. Alabama will take on UConn. Purdue and UConn are the only number one seeds remaining. And for Purdue and Zach Edey, this has been a whole season of no matter how good they've been, there's been doubt. In fact, throughout the seven-footer's career, he said that he's been overlooked. Hard to believe a guy that big has been overlooked. But he has been. He's literally naming coaches and programs that didn't want him. And he said, you can't do that anymore.
There were so many coaches that looked over me. Name a program, I can name a coach that looked over me. Tennessee, Rick Barnes is a great coach, but he was in a bunch of our practice, looked over me. Like, it's kind of been the story of my life. People have doubted me. People look past me and can't do that anymore.
What do you think of all that?
I mean,
he kept receipts.
Yeah, man. I love when guys take receipts and take it personal.
Oh, Rick Barnes, he was at my practice. Didn't want me.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. You want me now? Like it's interesting that he has that, right? It's interesting that he's got that edge to him.
Mike Jones.
He had a big game in the Elite Eight. He had a 40-point game. Like, he was dominant. Again, I watch him and I just wonder about his NBA ability, but it doesn't matter right now. The college game, he is dominant and he's got his team in the Final Four. As we were talking about the Yankees and their great start, Mets, not as much. And this whole thing has been bizarre from the beginning. Did you see much of their back and forth with Rhys Hoskins? You know, the slide into McNeil. McNeil took exception to it. The two of them barking at each other.
He elbowed his ass right
Hoskins doing the like crybaby stuff at him, like all
then,
that stuff.
Then a throw behind and
right, and then they get thrown out. Like, but you throw behind him like much later. Like, it wasn't like they threw it at him the very next game.
Why you throw behind him? Why don't you hit him?
It's so bizarre.
You're supposed to do the CC Sabathia right on the ass cheek.
So here's Hoskins talking about McNeil getting off. Well, let's do McNeil here. He never was a fan of Hoskins, who he actually was teammates with.
A little bit of a pass, so knew there was a chance that he'd be coming in like that. Didn't like his slide. I wasn't trying to turn a double play at all. You know, I was just trying to catch the ball. There was no need to break it up. Didn't like it. You know, he's had some pretty questionable slides at second base for sure. Definitely remember looking at some in the past that were definitely not okay. I knew there was a possibility that might happen, and it did.
Yeah, so he knew it was coming. He got mad at him right away. Hoskins didn't understand any of this.
The last thing I want to do is give them a clear lane to make a double play. So McNeil took excuse to my slide, but I didn't really think much of it, to be honest. I ended up hitting him, but
that's what happens with the slow development play and trying to make sure he doesn't turn a double play. I kind of like laid there afterward. A couple guys said, you know, I thought maybe you'd hurt yourself, but I was just kind of letting whatever McNeil needed to get out, let him get it out. And as you saw, I kind of ran off the field after that and got to see everybody on the team out there. So he seems to be complaining when things aren't going well. And I think that's kind of one of those moments.
Wow.
Yeah, it just hurts.
He completely is like, I got no time for this.
The Mets got swept, so you don't get to say anything.
Nope.
Like, bro, like, you didn't win. Like, I see if this was a highly contested type of back and forth series, man. Like, he's like, man, listen, we ain't sweating y'all. We kicking y'all ass. Y'all,
that's literally what it sounds like. That's exactly what it sounds like he said.
Man. Yeah. That slide, without the slide, we win it regardless.
Yeah, like he almost felt like I'm not giving you my time. This is a waste of time. And even in the booth at SNY, you know, on the game, the fact that the Mets didn't throw or didn't do anything with Hoskins in the very next game, and then of course it happens later on when all the damage is already done. Ron Darling didn't like that.
Well, the message is about 2 hours late. You know, if you wanted to send a message from what happened yesterday to protect your second baseman McNeil. His first at-bat, you brush him back, get him off the plate a little, let him know that, okay, we recognize what happened yesterday. That's not going to happen today. And then we play ball. You don't throw at someone after he's beat your head in. That's not when you throw at someone.
Strong analysis there.
Yeah.
I mean, right? I mean, that's strong. But look, most importantly, Mets didn't win. And that's all Pete Alonso cares about.
Definitely not ideal and definitely not what we wanted how to start. So we'll just get right back at it tomorrow.
And Lindor, how does he feel about all this stuff?
It's one of those where everybody's excited to start, to get going, and to have games that count, and to have at-bats that count. It's one of those where you start seeing the way things are shaping, and you're like, uh-oh, you know, you gotta find your ground, and we haven't really done it.
Well, Le Tigres at Citi Field, Bart, tonight. So, back at it, like you said, right?
Talk about polar opposites, man.
Back at it. Meanwhile, the Yankees sweep the Astros.
And the season's open.
The Yankees get a four-game sweep in Houston to start the season, and they get a big win on yesterday to clinch that sweep with a huge hit from Juan Soto, who had a fantastic debut for the Yankees. Aaron Boone.
A lot of fun watching these guys continue to kind of compete, and it's happening on both sides of the ball. What great play by Birdie. It wasn't hit all that hard, but kind of seemed like it was placed perfectly to my eye off the bat, and then I see Birdie out of nowhere pull it off and have the wherewithal to get to third. And then a great read by Doogie there. You know, that little looper that, you know, Tucker can, he's just good at hanging in there and dumping that ball out there, and Doogie got a great read on it. Wild ninth. But this guy's just having fun playing the game right now.
You're talking about John Birdie, of course, was brought in with the injury to DJ LeMahieu to give them some backup at third base, and he's a terrific fielding infielder, and right there, and you know, showed it right away for the Yankees. So great start for the Yankees. It's exactly what you wanted to see, especially in a guy like Juan Soto, a star showing up, putting on the pinstripes, and then saying, "Yes, I am all that."
Almost as impressive as the Tigers being undefeated.
Being 3-0. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 3-0.
You sure about that?
3-0. That's what they are. They're 3-0. And they play tonight, right, against the Mets. So
Mendoza told us.
You going to the game? Big Tigers fan.
They playing tonight?
Yeah.
Maybe I go tomorrow.
You big Tigers fan?
I call Gelbsy. See if he give me
You want to go tomorrow?
See if Gelbsy give me the tickets like you give me.
Tomorrow?
It might be rained out, man. It's raining.
It's not supposed to rain tonight. It rained this morning, but I don't believe it's raining tonight. Tomorrow could rain. Tomorrow is also a 7 o'clock start, but I thought you'd be watching Knicks Heat because your boy's on TV. Yeah,
but you know I can watch my cable on
you
my
could.
Phone.
Yes, I know.
I have Xfinity Stream.
You know what's funny? I remember being at a Mets game with my mother's a big Mets fan. This is like in the 90s. I was still fairly young. Was with my mom at a Mets game while the Knicks were in their playoff run in like 90, might have been 93. And the only updates I could get at the Met game was from somebody who had a transistor radio who would yell the score out into the section and we'd all react. Like, think about that, right? Think about that. That was the updates. Not, oh, I could just look at my phone. I'll just watch the game on my phone.
Just watch the game, yeah.
While I dip the hot dog into barbecue sauce.
Bro.
So bougie.
Let me tell you something, bro. Next time you barbecue at home, I want you to try it. Dude, first of all, do you use barbecue sauce or you're a dry rub type of dude?
No, I love barbecue sauce.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm big on the sauce.
So you usually have like a boil of sauce, right?
Yeah.
So take one of those barbecue.
It all depends on what type of sauce.
Take one of those barbecue, like a little brown sugar, like type of sauce, like sweetened.
Sweet Baby Ray's.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Next time you do that, just say, you know what? I'm going to take one of these dogs, put some tongs in, I'm going to take it off, and I'm going to dip it in my barbecue sauce, and I'm going to put it on the bun and eat it, just see what it tastes like.
And just snap right into it?
Just see what it tastes like.
All right.
Change of life.
All right. We shall see. All right, 800-919-3776. Back to the calls we go. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
What were you just, tell everybody what you were just showing me over the weekend. There was a fight.
Oh, yeah, yeah. For a lot of people, Rolly versus Pitbull Cruz, you know what I mean? And then we all know that Keith Two-Time Thurman couldn't fight Tim Tszyu, so he had a 12 days to prepare for the 6'6 welterweight. He's 6'6", and he fights at 154.
What?
Yeah. And he throws all day, but you know, it was a controversial. It wasn't controversial. He elbowed him in the head, and it was like blood. Like it was like so much blood.
Yeah.
And then Tim Tszyu bloodied his nose. He had blood going in his mouth. Like it was just like after every fight, after every round.
Yeah.
Both of them covered in blood all over. Like where they couldn't even get the blood off.
And they didn't stop it?
Nah, because the cut was in the top of his head up here.
Oh, so it wasn't like he wasn't bleeding from the nose or.
Old boy came in and he's 6'6", so he's only 5'10".
Yeah, so he's punching down.
So then when he came in, he ran into his elbow. It was accidental, but after four rounds, then and Tim Tszyu was the champion, but he ended up losing his belt because simply he couldn't see. But you know that kind of. Errol Spence came in, said he wanted to fight the winner. We hadn't seen Errol Spence since he got his ass kicked by Bud Crawford. He was the guy that was doing blah blah blah. But Rolly did good against Gervonta Davis, and he knocked him out. But he's a guy that's loquacious, and it was PBC and Prime Amazon first. You know, this was their first joint venture together.
Okay,
as Prime is into boxing now. Right. And he was like talking about how, you know, he's like a loquacious, like got his little silk shirt on, talk all this stuff. And talking about got his ass knocked out. He got his ass knocked out by this 40-year-old dude, but they robbed the 40-year-old dude. And then that 40-year-old dude fought somebody else.
You gotta be careful talking.
But he don't just talk. He talk. You know how Adrian Broner talked?
Yep.
He talked like Adrian Broner, cash money stuff. But at least Adrian Broner at that time when he was talking had some real legitimate wins on his title. Hey man, when he gets knocked out, it's funny.
But why is it funny?
Because like he steps back and his legs get wobbly.
Oh fall, yeah, yeah.
And he's just trying to stay up.
What was it afterwards
he's like Happy Easter.
Yeah. What was that?
She asked him like, Rolly, what happened? Because he had talked stuff to her. He kind of was dismissed to her in the back. She was like, how are you going to get to him? He's like, I'm going to punch him in the face.
Yeah.
Right. So afterwards, she's like, so it looked like you know you said you was going to do all this. What happened? He's like, Happy Easter, everybody. God is risen. Like, what?
He was,
knocked the religion into his ass.
He was not there anymore. All right, we got lots of calls to get to. 2 o'clock hour, we go full buffet because we got so many headlines. The Yankees, great start. The Mets, not so much. You got the Women's Elite Eight tonight. Are you watching? I mean, if you don't typically watch, but are you like, you know what? I think it's got me tonight. I think I'm kind of curious to watch this because you got the headlines, you got the drama. There's a lot to this tonight, and there's really nothing else on. You got Hassan Reddick to the Jets. What do you think of that? And then Josh Hart basically saying, Randall and OG, yeah, we don't expect them to come back. We're planning, we're preparing as if they're not coming back. And if they do, that'd be great. But we're not expecting it. Like, think about what he just said. How do you feel about that? Tons of calls to get to on the headlines with you. But first, dingers, blasts, moonshots, whatever you want to call them. Everybody loves home runs. And with FanDuel's Dinger Tuesdays, Bart Scott, they're called Dinger Tuesdays. Mm-hmm. Like you can love them even more. That's right. Dinger Tuesdays are back for another season on America's number one sportsbook. Bet on a player to homer, and FanDuel will give you $5 in bonus bets for every home run hit during that game. As if you needed another reason to love the long ball, now you got Dinger Tuesdays. Visit FanDuel.com/Allen to get in on all the Dinger Tuesday action. That's FanDuel.com/Allen. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text OPENY 467-369. 21 or older, physically present in New York. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable. Bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max bonus $25 per game. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Dinger Tuesdays.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. So how was your weekend? Well, certainly had to go a whole lot better than it did for the New York Mets, who get swept away by the Brewers earlier this morning on DiPietro and Rothenberg. Rick and Dave agreed it couldn't have gone much worse.
Nothing was good for the Mets this weekend.
Nimmo hasn't been good. Lindor hasn't been good. Jeff McNeil hasn't been good.
No, Alonso was good, actually. He's the one.
Right.
But
yeah,
I mean,
yeah. Severino stunk.
He never allowed more hits in a start than he did on Saturday for the Mets.
Yeah, 12 hits. He looked like the same guy you saw for the Yankees.
Same exact guy. Picked right up where he left off.
And on top of that, you had a chance there in the first inning to get retribution with Rhys Hoskins, and you didn't, and you waited. And then by the time he did it, he had already embarrassed you, which makes it even more embarrassing. And then turns out you had no idea Carlos Mendoza was even getting suspended till you got to the ballpark. Yesterday, this weekend was very Jets-esque. Can't just lose.
Right.
There needs to be something embarrassing involved when you lose.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.